Welcome back, everybody, to Foul Play, coming at you for season 3 of the show, and getting you all prepped for the 2020 Overwatch League season. This is our season opener. You are hearing the sound of me, Heebie Jeebie, joined as always by Teoyama. How are you, my man? It's been forever.
It has been too long, and I am good. I am also not good because my leg is in a bad spot because I tore my Achilles yesterday. I just wanted the listeners to know if I'm a little loopy and not super smart, it's because of pain medication, not because I'm not super smart. I'm very usually smart.
Now, you are the brains of the podcast, so I am pretty concerned whenever that happens. All I got to say, whoever told you to break a leg in good faith for your performance tonight had a twisted sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I can't believe they would do something like that to
you. Right. It's not right.
No, how could they? Okay, well, other than hurting your leg in a terrible way, how was your off season? What'd you keep busy with?
Fortunately, I kept busy with my original fantasy love, and that's fantasy football. I was like fully immersed in that stuff. I was in 3 leagues this year. I was also writing articles about it for Bleacher Report during it, so I was like really fucking keyed in. it was fun. It was a good time, and now fantasy basketball is going on too, so there's just a lot of fantasy, and I'm excited for Overwatch to be back on the menu.
It is back in a major way, or at least will be once the season starts, but we are here to prep you about a ton of things. My off season was pretty good. I started a new job that I actually really like.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's great. We'll have to bleep out a couple of things. But we're
it's okay. Pain medication.
Pain medication.
It covers all. I thought we were curse friendly. It's 2020, you know.
Yeah, that's true. No, it'll be fine. We can deal with one red E on our podcast feed. my FC is good. Like I said, I found a job that I really enjoy. I'm excited for Overwatch to finally start, but I've also like started getting into other esports in the off season, and they're finally coming to start too. So
list them.
I've recently really got into the Call of Duty League that's starting up. They recently franchised this upcoming year as well, and Chicago actually got a team. I think in like 2 weeks. I think it's the 24th weekend. So, it's gonna be pretty exciting. Chicago got a team there, which I was pumped about. So now I have a team.
What are they called?
The Huntsmen. They're like all the good people from Optic, and then like a couple of other cool
Huntsmen.
Team members. Yeah.
All right, it's cute.
Yeah, I'm not super sold on the name. I really like the logo, but it's because like, I mean, it's like a couple of axes with like a green background, and I know green isn't the best color, but they also like included like the Chicago flag into the logo, which is really cool for anyone who lives here. So like, I'm pumped about that team.
That's tight.
Yes, but all that aside, that is Call of Duty, which also has actually a pretty sweet fantasy platform that we'll talk about later. So if you think you can match me in fantasy COD, then at me on Twitter. But that is not what we're here to discuss. We're excited to discuss is Overwatch League 2020. Now, before we get into the fantasy nitty gritty, why people tuned into this show in the first place, Teo, what's got you excited about Overwatch League 2020?
So there's a couple things. One, I'm just like excited to see all of the player progressions this season. You know, like it's just fun to see who takes that next step. And last season was already just a very different experience than the season before. So like, I would say the thing I'm most excited for is finding out which contenders players and which pickups are just nasty and take the league by storm. And then I'm also just excited to see the meta shift and see where we get to. Yeah.
I think that's a good point. Like, so, and also just as a heads up, listeners, we'll be talking about that later. Today, our episode will be kind of based around where to play fantasy this year, and then also what the meta's looking like and where you should aim your drafting decisions in terms of main tank, off tank, flex support, hit scan, you know, that kind of argument. But What's exciting me most about Overwatch League 2020 is kind of similar to your first point. I am super okay. So in the transition between 2018 to 2019, it was a lot of just like, what's the new talent? There's so many new teams. They flooded the league, which is really cool. But what I'm really excited about is this kind of seems just to be, oh shoot, I just totally messed up the stream. Oh well, video listeners, sorry. What I'm really excited about is the, just, it seems like the level up season. Like, instead of just being a bunch of new players and talent, this seems to be the season where teams just got strictly better, which I'm excited to see. I know that travel and meta shifts and stuff are making people question whether the skill talent level will actually go up, but I don't know. I think just overall we had a refining off season, which I'm excited to see. It's hard to find teams that I think got genuinely worse, which I think there are some, but I think the majority got better compared to the majority getting worse. So I'm really excited about that.
And speaking of like leveling up, it'll be really cool to see which players level up in a new place, you know, like for which players like a change of scenery really matters, because you know, we just saw it last season, like Rascal, you know, seemed like his career was on the line, and then next thing you know he's starting into the playoffs, you know. So it's fun to see like which players just in a new setting get to pop off.
Oh, I know, I'm ecstatic about it. And which teams under like a new setting will kind of slow down. It's going to be a great season, I think. And then I would be remiss if I didn't mention homestands. Maybe has major effects on fantasy. It's kind of unproven at this point. But I just as a fan, I'm excited to see. I'm not planning on going to any live events right now. Being in the Midwest is kind of rough for Overwatch League events, which is crazy because there's so many teams playing all the time, but kind of far from anywhere. So, but maybe. We'll see. But that is the Overwatch League as a whole. That is us speaking as fans, holistically as fans of our teams. You are a New York fan, me as a LA Gladiators fan. Just so if you were a new listener, that's the dynamic you're walking into.
Yeah, those are the biases we got.
Exactly. Oh man, when it comes to fantasy, my Homer picks are pretty strong. Shaz is the best fantasy player of all time. Prove me wrong.
My top pick last season.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of leagues, it was a good choice. But the meat and potatoes of this episode, which we'll be jumping into next, is going to be where to play fantasy this year. So you're listening to us because you want to be prepped for your drafts. You want to be prepped for your unlimited leagues, your daily leagues. You want to know what you're stepping into in this foreign world of 2020. Well, first, we got to give you the roadmap. Where are you stepping into? And right now, there are going to be basically three major platforms where fantasy is playing. Winston's Lab's been kind of radio silent on all things fantasy, so plus we never really recommended them very strongly, so in terms of this show, Winston's Lab is going to be kind of a non sequitur. So we're going to be talking about the other platforms now. Before we get into each, what I think their pros and cons are, what they're offering this year that they weren't last year, or whether they're a new player in the first place, I saw this question kind of get asked to us a couple times in the Discord, maybe not to us, just like to the general High Noon podcast staff, is which one are you supporting? Which one are you saying is the best? Which one are you pointing people towards? And just right out of the gate, I want to say, like, we endorse all of them. I think that Fantasy Overwatch has upgraded so much in the couple of years that, like, it's actually existed, to the point where it's just been getting better and better, and to that point where we've gotten to now, there's competition, and I'm really excited about that. They each offer different and unique things on their platform, so it is worth checking them all out, and we are going to do our best to try to juggle the different structures that each of the apps or websites have, so that on our show, you can, no matter where you're playing, you can come and tune into Foul Play and still have an edge in whatever league you're in. So we are not just forcing one platform. We are definitely saying choose any of them because they're all good. And if you have the ability, do all of them because it's worth it. I really do think it's worth it. But yeah. So I guess let's jump into the first one, which will be highnoon.gg. It's done by a good friend of the show, Souldrink and company. They've got staff around him now, which is very exciting. This was the website that was used last year. We basically solely used this platform when we were talking about the show. This website has your all season long leagues. It also had the element of unlimited leagues and pick'ems. And all three of those are returning, along with some other features. So very exciting. Teo, what do you want to talk about highnoon.gg? Any things you want to say about them?
I would just say like that it was probably the most consistent website last year.
Yeah.
And it had, you know, the user base was really strong and it would have ended up being, you know, probably the most rewarding platform because of that, you know, since all those season long leagues were so wild. And especially the unlimited ones, and like they did a great job with the UI and everything, and Souldrink's great. But the fact that like the some of the stats got lost kind of ruined the season for them. But unlike what seemed to happen with Winston's Lab, where kind of we just got silence from them and nothing really changed at a certain point, I'm hyped to see that High Noon is growing for this season. And if they grow and match what their peak was last season, then it should be a really good time.
And let's talk about how they grew. So High Noon is definitely stepping up their game a lot. Souldrink has been in the lab creating version 3 for a long time, and it's looking, it's, well, to be fair, I haven't seen it, but all the promises made from it are looking really cool. By the way, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably listening to By the Numbers over there on the OWLN network. They actually had Souldrink on for an interview. So if you want to hear more in-depth stuff about highnoon.gg, you should go and check out that podcast. They do really good work over there. They are bitter rivals with us, and we will defeat them at any opportunity given. Or rather, Teo will, and I'll take third place probably. We would love to battle them. More details to come with that. But they had highnoon.gg on there. So first thing is first, highnoon.gg has they've done what everybody, I think, asked for unanimously, and they're introducing a mobile app, which is awesome for iPhone and for Android users. I haven't seen it yet. Alpha testing of it begins this weekend. You can jump in that as well. I know me, Teo, and like a bunch of the other High Noon podcast staff are all going to be jumping on this weekend and trying it out. But you can also like just at them on like talk to them on Twitter, talk to them on Discord. They're not keeping it super tight. Trust me, you can get in. So get in there, try testing it out. It's going to be really cool. I'm very excited about the mobile app, and that's easily the best place to play fantasy. Like the amount of times I'm sitting down at my PC compared to how many times I'm just pulling out my phone, it's not even a close contest. Like if you want my attention, you got the platform now that you can do it. So congrats to them. I'm excited that they were able to make something work, and I hope it is successful. So that's the first thing that I think just like makes highnoon.gg a rock of where you can return to for fantasy. You're like, okay, this is a touchstone. They have the mobile app now. Awesome. That's good.
Yeah. And I would just touch on that to say like regards to, you know, being on your phone versus on the computer. One thing I really like about High Noon is that they've kind of been the ones who have most boldly gone after the traditional fantasy format. So you know, already they had the right idea with regards to having free agents and trades.
Yes.
And so any kind of improvement that they make there where like you can be on your computer figuring out the best trade for your team, figuring out your favorite free agents, and then later just be on your phone and actually make those things happen when, you know, something pops up, like that just makes life so much easier.
So much easier. Yeah, you're right. So great, great work for that. That is like, I honestly think like a necessary check mark, but I think they hit it in a proper way as long as it runs smooth. So, and then this will kind of be the, I don't know what to call it, the cool side dishes or the toppings on your ice cream. These are the cool extras that they're adding this season. So one is paid league management. Basically just giving commissioners the tools. They're not going to store money online, but they'll give you the options to track it or calculate by prize that you should be distributing to your players if that's something that you're interested in doing. I personally will probably participate with candy, not real money. I can't legally gamble. But just saying, if you are using it, I definitely recommend caution. We've lost stats in the past before, and if money's on the line and that happens, that is a... I don't know how you come back from that. You better have really good friends. Another cool topping is the customization. So this is really cool. You can change some of the scoring multipliers and your roster layout. So for example, you could be in a league that has one DPS, one support, one tank fielded, and three utility, like three captain slots, if you want to. You can customize all of that now as a commissioner. And there's lots of other little toggles and switches you can choose. One of the examples Soldrink gave was that you could make your captain score double points. Which is kind of an interesting way to play. So very cool. This other one has been asked for so many times is a history tab. So if you go into your league, you can click on that. You can see every trade that was made, every waiver wire pickup, like who that player went to, who was given to. In the past, you couldn't see any of that. It was just if you didn't get your waiver wire pickup, it was because it went to someone else and you had to do a lot of legwork to kind of figure out where that was. But now you're able to see that. And since mobile is coming into play, all of those can be set to push notifications. So you can see immediately when a trade happens, it'll pop up on your phone. Optional, of course, you can customize all of that. And just the old trademarks of High Noon are back. You have unlimited leagues. You're going to have pick'ems again. I've heard pick'ems are getting an upgrade. I'm not exactly sure what that means. But they will. And yeah, unlimited leagues as well. The scoring system for High Noon is going to be the same. Like, you have the options between best game, you have the option between a raw scoring format, so just all the games are included. And then you also are having another option, which includes just the best three maps scored by a player. Kind of a cool system, especially since the games are being switched to first to three wins instead of just four games played. Sometimes some teams will play like six maps instead of just playing the normal four. So just some more cool options for customization, which is really just what everybody wants. That's what you want. You want more customization. Yep. So that's all I had to say on High Noon.gg. Is there any more features or anything like that, Teo, that you want to point out about High Noon? I know I just rambled for like 10 minutes straight. So
no, that's good. We need information, maximum information.
Yeah, it's true.
I think it'll be cool to find out if that's, you know, once again, just the main spot for unlimited and standard leagues, and you know, with improvements to standard leagues, like it'll just make free agency and trades a lot more appealing, and those features really make for fun storylines in fantasy. So if they can get those right, it'll be really exciting.
I think the biggest challenge in terms of just playing fantasy season long games is just investment throughout the entire season. And for anyone who doesn't make a podcast about fantasy Overwatch, it's really difficult for you to actually have that be entertaining and something that you're always doing throughout the regular season. And I think every one of these changes will assist in that. A history tab, a mobile app, which I think will do leaps and bounds, but the option to have actual money included in these games, like this will, all of these things I think will really assist players in sticking with it. So I think the future is bright for fantasy Overwatch, despite what some esports journalists will tell you. I think this season will be a really good season for it. So that brings us to the highnoon.gg. I want to say competitor, but they bring a lot of just different things. So another platform where you can play fantasy Overwatch is a app called Draft Buff. Now I say app because they don't have a way to play on desktop at the moment. There's no browser-based way to play on Draft Buff. It is mobile only. They did that decision because that's the platform they want to focus on. They said eventually that's on the docket, is to get a desktop version up and running. But at the moment, they just want to completely focus on mobile, which I respect. I mean, that was a hole they were filling at the moment. So I think it's a good option. Personal opinion, I think Draft Buff, like UI, is easily the best one so far. Like, it looks the nicest. It feels the nicest to me. So I am particularly bullish on Draft Buff. I really like it. Another thing is that they are live right now. You can go on DraftBuff and you can join leagues at the moment. They have public leagues and private leagues, so you can join in a random public one, or you can create a private one for your friends. Now, this is a very important. So listeners, if you've just been skipping until you hear something good, this is where you stop right now and you listen up. I'm very excited to announce that Foul Play is an affiliate on DraftBuff. So if you want to help support the show, whenever you're making an account on DraftBuff, it gives you a chance to put in an affiliate code or just like a referral code. Whenever you do that, put in the word Foul Play, no spaces, all caps, and you help support the show a little bit. So if you're already going to be playing on DraftBuff, throw us in your referral code and help support the show. That would be awesome. So we are DraftBuff affiliates, and I promise I'm not selling out. I do like the app, but I know that's hard to see through now. But so let me run through what DraftBuff is offering. So first off, they don't have unlimited leagues or pick'ems. That's kind of High Noon.gg's thing. Instead, they have season-long leagues like High Noon.gg has that are running right now. Now, their drafts run a little bit differently. On HighNoon.gg, their drafts are timed. You either have to be live or create a player want list, essentially, that it runs through. On DraftBuff, the leagues can... You have infinite time to make your pick at the moment. Your draft could take a week if you want it to, if players aren't very active, or it could take a couple days. Now, just recently, like I'm talking like earlier this afternoon, they launched the option to have timed leagues as well. So... And inside DraftBuff, they've ranked the players already. So if you don't make your draft pick by a certain amount of time, it auto-selects the highest-ranked player next. So a pretty cool option if you want to have a timed league and somebody who doesn't know that much about Overwatch League wants to just join. They're going to be getting in those higher-ranked players, but who knows? It's always better to be there live. So just as a heads up, that is an option. Next thing, their scoring is adjustable completely. You can adjust how many points kills are worth, how many points deaths are worth in terms of negative, what your healing values are, and all of it. So just you can get in there and customize. Same as HighNoon.gg, you can also customize the roster slots. You can change those up. For the example I gave before with one tank, one DPS, one support, and then three utility players, I'm currently drafting a league in that way right now. So it is a little wild, but I'm excited about it. Just getting every flex support I can. But it'll be a very fun league. And so... So that's what DraftBuff has in terms of Overwatch. Now, the cool pull to DraftBuff for me is that on it, there is also League of Legends and Call of Duty fantasy drafting. So if you're at all interested in those esports, it's really cool that DraftBuff has all three right there for you. So you can run three leagues for all three, just be involved in as many as you can. That is all on the app for you. Scoring is going to be a little different than High Noon. So High Noon gives you the best option, best three maps option, or the raw scoring. In DraftBuff, the scores are normalized per match played. So instead of taking just the best game, they take every game played, and then they normalize the amount of points. So they average it out, which is a little bit different, but I actually think with the new season upcoming, it will be a good thing. I think it could be important. They have expressed interest in being able to customize how that scoring is done, so it could be normalized by map played instead, but they haven't actually decided if they're going to implement that before season start. So, whew, that's DraftBuff. Use code FOULPLAY. But, yeah, have you had the chance to log on to DraftBuff yet, Teo?
So I did that just now during your monologue.
Okay, and
I
cool. Thought, it was long enough. You probably entered and completed three drafts because, I'm breathless.
I did a nice job. I wanted to check out the UI because what I was thinking about DraftBuff, not having done a draft on it just yet, is that, you know, one thing that's nice is, okay, there's two things that I like. One is that the fact that they're doing multiple esports.
Yep.
And they're mobile only means like their attention is really focused on how the app works. And that's probably a good sign because, like, you know how demanding Overwatch fans can be.
Oh, yes.
So I'm sure League fans are, you know, League fans are more demanding even. And like, you know, every esport has its own community that's very demanding. So the fact that they're dealing with three different communities means like the base functions of the app should ideally work well.
And I believe last year they ran Call of Duty already. Like, I believe that was kind of their beta launching, was they were they had it operational for Call of Duty events. So
that's clutch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second thing I would say is average score could really be just like the future for a lot, you know, and it's something that I've always wanted in fantasy basketball, because for some reason, like, you know, in fantasy basketball, you could have a bad player who plays four games in a week and he outscores a great player who plays one game in a week. And that sort of like scheduling RNG is just trash, you know.
Yep.
Like, it really just discourages playing talent and it encourages playing schedule, which is silly. Yeah. And you have that same problem in Overwatch League. So
you have it more so, I think.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I think very much more so. Mm-hmm.
Which is why like combined scoring is silly in and of itself. But just in general, like the fact that people play different maps, like that that can really skew things the wrong way. So doing average scoring can really help.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, actually, let's talk about that for a second. So we just went over the two options you have for season-long leagues. Now, something I've seen brought up in both of these Discords, in the highnoon.gg and the Draft Buff Discord, is a question that people keep bringing up in terms of season 2020 of Overwatch League. Teams are having longer breaks, or just there's less teams playing on these weekends than there used to be during a week. There's a week, I think, where only eight teams play during that weekend, as opposed to all 20 teams playing every week or 19 teams. The question has been brought up, should scoring move to, or should your games versus an opponent move to 2 weeks instead of just the 1 week matchup? Should there be a 2 week gap? Now, while you have a chance to think on that, I'm going to speak my piece. I think no. I think part of the skill of Overwatch drafting is drafting a larger field in terms of team, because like that's just one of the ways you have to play. I think it punishes skill a little bit punishing drafting skill if you're doing 2 week matchups. Two, if you can't, I don't understand, would you be allowed to adjust your lineup like week per, like in between the weeks? And like, if you did allow that, would you allow trading? I don't know. It just seems more complicated. And for new players, which I think this season we're going to have a lot of new players, I believe it gets a lot more complicated for them. And I want the drafting to be more skill based, not just harder to understand. And I think that's the only thing we would achieve with that. Yes, I think more, like, I think your higher scoring players would be like more consistently good. And I think that like there is some aspect to just knowing who the best players are. But I think that's the only level of skill you're getting when you move to 2 weeks, is just knowing who the best players are, instead of now you have to know who the best players are, draft a wide spread for different teams, like, so you're prepared for every situation. And then the trading and waiver wires actually make sense each week. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree that 2 weeks is kind of silly. One problem is that, like, by lengthening the amount of time you're invested in each game, like, it kind of just draws it out too long. Like, and the pace is going to be tough in that case, you know. And it doesn't do a good job of tackling the root issue, which is that, you know, you want to field like a fair team and play against somebody else in a fair way and not be adjusted by the schedule. Yeah. I mean, not be affected by the schedule. But the real ways to improve that probably are, like, one, yeah, you mentioned you want to get as many players from different teams as you can just by default. But then also, you know, whichever platform is best able to maneuver free agency so that, like, free agents feel easy to pick up. Like, the ideal would be to have free agent acquisition budgets like they have in traditional fantasy sports, where, like, you know,
you don't
then
like
you're
the waiver
given
wire system that High Noon has at the moment, where like lowest ranked player gets first access.
My problem with that, like, so that format does work, you know, reverse standings as a free agent acquisition, like, setup, as a waiver setup, but it kind of takes some skill out of it. And like, for example, I had years in fantasy football in leagues that had that format. I would, you know, on purpose, I would draft higher upside long-term plays, thinking that I can afford to lose games early in the season because I'll get the good free agents, you know? Okay. And that's like, it's not a fun way to game the system. And so when you have a budget cap, like it introduces a different fair skill cap for everybody to deal with, you know. And in that way, like even if you manage to win your first game and somebody else lost their first game, you both have the same opportunity to pick somebody up, you know. And
Then it
then
goes in
each
reserve
week to
draft
week,
order, I believe. Like, that's like the second qualifier,
yeah,
basically.
after a
But,
tie, yeah,
but
which is
I
fine.
agree. I think that is an important point you bring up. And honestly, you listeners, or you, Teo, honestly, you should do this. Especially High Noon or Draft Buff, like, these platforms are waiting for suggestions and actively change their platform based on listener and player suggestions. So, like, if you have a good idea like this, bring it up. Like, there's a good chance that at the very least it's like thought of and honored before, like, if they don't choose to use it, oh well. But I think it's a good idea to bring up. I really like that.
And then the last point I would have just on this, the new Overwatch League format and how that affects, you know, how you play season-long leagues. I think it honestly, like it's pretty hard to avoid the fact that it damages season-long leagues because it makes it harder to prepare for by going to like this almost like quasi multi-tournament schedule as opposed to like a cleaner like
Which, by the way, Call of
regular
Duty
schedule.
switched their format to that, and I'm so excited. Now it's just a tournament every weekend.
Oh,
And
really?
the points are based like where you end up. It's so cool. I'm very excited. Overwatch should do it. But anyway, continue.
But then yeah, just leading on into the next app, like I think what it does and what this could allow Overwatch League to do in terms of Fantasy Overwatch League is be at the head of the curve towards daily leagues, you know. So in fantasy football, in fantasy basketball, like in gambling, daily leagues have become so big, and now Overwatch is honestly better suited to daily than it is season long, which is honestly like it's annoying to traditional fantasy sports fans, but at the same time, it's at the head of what a lot of fantasy sports fans are gravitating towards
That's true.
and people who want to spend money.
Okay. Well,
And
let's
lose
talk
money
about it
to
then.
me.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, or bragging rights in terms of
Yeah,
Overwatch. But let's
maybe
talk
a
about it
jersey.
then. Yeah, maybe. So let's talk about daily then. So, Teo, why don't you just do like a very brief description of how the daily format works and what it looks like on fantasyowl.com, which by the way is the daily platform. So just do a like brief description of what that is.
Yeah, so in terms of just the format itself, it's pretty simple and it's pretty easy to get into. You know, you can join different tournaments, and then for each tournament, for every day, there's a set cost associated with each player.
From
I
like
forget
10 to
exactly.
30
Yeah, I
ish.
forget exactly what the scale is, and it kind of changes as the season goes on based on their own algorithm. But
Which also I can attest, the algorithm was very good. Like I really thought it was successful.
Yeah, like the best players cost a lot, and you know, they might be behind on certain sleepers, but that's like the funnest thing about fantasy, I think, for everybody is, you know, betting on somebody who you think is going to do well, and other people, you know, just getting that underdog, and then your underdog pops off, and everybody else is like, oh no, we overrated some people, underrated some people. And so, like, every day of daily fantasy is just like a whole new, you know, experiment and like trying to figure out like who's currently still undervalued, like whose price is catching up to them, et cetera. And so yeah, like you fill out a roster, you go up to 100 and you have to get six players, and you can't just stack your roster with people you know you are going to do well. So you kind of have to like judge each matchup individually and each player's like recent performances. So it's a very even playing field, and you get to, you know, have a lot of authority over how your team performs.
Oh, so yeah, that was a great description. I mean, you have a budget that you spend. I think the budget's around 100, and you make your
Yeah,
team,
it's 100.
and you try to have the best team compared to everybody else. So, yeah, the format is remaining the same, as far as I know. But they're implementing a few new features. So if you're a fan of daily, this is just more good. I don't think they're taking away anything that you liked. It should just be a cool addition. So first off is the announcement was made. Again, I haven't seen any of this yet, so these are just promises, but one is that they're implementing season-long leagues using the daily format. So it'll just like keep track of like who's winning, who's not. So just and tracking your performance in each daily game. I assume that's running every day for the entire season. So one, of course, Foul Play is going to have one. So join ours. That's going to be awesome. I'm very excited about it. So check that out. That's probably what we'll be using in our daily segment during the season where we talk about who won last week, who had the best daily performance, blah, 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 blah. We'll check that out. And in my opinion, this like season-long league of daily games is just a better version of Unlimited. Like, I think it just makes it more fun. I know it is technically a different format, but I don't know. The cost budgeting to it actually just adds like an element. Like, I'm not just going to be fielding the same seven every week, which I guess you wouldn't want to this season due to the weird schedule and everything. But I do think this just makes it more fun.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I would say it just, you know, it really encourages going after sleepers, and it's always so fun to just like, you know, stack your roster with some crazy people up top and then just have like a bunch of randos that not a lot of other people believe in.
Yep.
So yeah, it encourages like the funnest parts of fantasy, I think.
Exactly. I make sure you tune into Foul Play to find out our sleepers. Very excited about that segment this year. We've tuned it up quite a bit, like some other segments on the show. It's going to be great. So our regular season format will be great. Also, just last note I threw on Fantasy Owl is that they've been known to have prizes for some of their unlimited leagues. So good friends of the show have won jerseys, hats, headphones, backpacks, including Teo, I guess, which is cool.
Let's go. I got a DeFran jersey.
That's so sick, actually.
Yeah.
So check it out. Like, it's a really cool platform. And I talked a lot about Draft Buffs AI, or AI, UI.
AI.
But Fantasy Owl's UI is also really good. Very clean looking, very easy to manage. So cool. I like them a lot. So that's Where to Play Fantasy. That has been 36 minutes of Where to Play Fantasy, kind of our Spark Notes versions of all the new features. I didn't really have many cons to list on any of these platforms. I think it's honestly going to become an opinion of taste eventually. I think you'll be like, well, honestly, Draft Buff has like a bunch of these other games that I don't pay attention to. It's kind of crowding my feed. I don't like it. I'm just going to stick to High Noon. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you're like, I really like how Draft Buff does this average scoring. I think it's easier for me to set it and then not have to worry about it for the rest of the weekend. I like that. I'm going to roll with that. So it's just kind of find your, you know, find your tribe. And roll with it. Mm-hmm. So we'll be having leagues set up everywhere. I think as soon as this episode releases, I think tomorrow or today in podcast land, I'm gonna create some Foul Play leagues on Draft Buff, and we'll just start drafting. So check it out. And also, we'll talk about this more at the end, but Fantasy League formation is kind of our home base in the High Noon Podcast Discord. So jump in there. And make some leagues. The next thing we're going to be talking about on today's episode is also where you would use the fantasy mailbag section on Discord. Send us some questions. But today we're going to be talking about kind of the metagame that Teo and I, very experienced, seasoned Overwatch veterans who can understand metagames like the Foreseers of old, will be able to just give our best opinion of what we think the meta is going to be and how we think that's going to affect fantasy. So why don't you take DPS, Teo? Why don't you talk a little bit about what the DPS field is looking like?
I think, like, as it pertains to the meta, I'd rather let you go into what the meta is right now, because I've kind of just been like thinking kind of big picture and long term about the Overwatch League season, because I think we like in learning from last season, like, and even the season before, like, we've seen every season in Overwatch League, like, the meta changes so drastically that your reasons for drafting people and picking up people in the beginning.
Yes.
Can quickly change by the end of the year, you know?
Very much so.
And so I think, like, overall, in terms of what we've seen from the Overwatch League, like, when you're looking at DPS, you don't want to just subscribe solely to playtime and the meta right now as, like, people on different podcasts have said it based on scrims and everything,
right?
Or, you know, even based on what you're seeing on ladder, you kind of want to go off of what DPS have proven that they're going to get play time on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we saw for much of last season and into the meta now that, like, the projectile players who are versatile but also just really nasty on projectile, the guys who can play Hanzo, who can play Mei at a high level, like, but specifically Hanzo, you know, we've seen a bunch of people who just picked up Hanzo quickly and then were popping off on that hero. So, mm-hmm. like, those people who, one, can play aim-intensive projectile heroes at a really high level,
mm-hmm.
you should be looking at, you know, more prominently than other people who might be getting more playtime in scrims right now.
Yes.
And then, two, the really flexible players just always retain value, you know, mm-hmm. so you don't want to be stuck. You don't want to go after somebody who's meta dependent as it stands right now, because that could all change so quickly. So mm-hmm. looking at people like Prophet's the perfect example, because yep. we've seen him play at a high level and be atop the scoreboards on every hero, yeah, you know.
He should never leave the stage.
Exactly. So somebody like that, you can be sure is going to be a good bet for the entire season. Mm-hmm. Whereas like somebody like, I don't know, Saya player, who we've only seen really pop off on, you know, one or two heroes, mostly Widow. Yeah. But like, you know, Saya player is 1 week for people in fantasy, but season long, you can't really bet on him because mm-hmm. you don't know where the meta is going to be. So I'll just say like flexibility and then, you know, the ability, the pop off potential on high skill cap heroes.
Yep. I would agree. I think you nailed it. I think the meta as it stands now is looking like a lot of Mei Hanzo, Mei Reaper, and then just like a little bit of variation in between. I think if you're looking at your initial draft, like, yes, I think with DPS, it is better to be season-long minded, because that is by far the most variable mm-hmm. role. There's just the most heroes there, so that's why it makes the most sense. So, but yeah, I just focus on your clear starters. Prophet's an amazing example, and avoid your, I guess, not exactly your one tricks, but like who's insanely good at Mei, but then might not play other places.
Yeah.
So. That's a good example. In terms of, let's cover supports first. Mm-hmm. So I, during the offseason, was very, very excited to see how much Baptiste was growing in the metagame. One, I like the hero. I'm sorry, crucify me. But I think he's a really cool character. But I saw his numbers were astronomical. Like, this guy's putting out so much healing and damage. I was like, finally, Zen finally has competition. I was wrong. I don't think it's that good enough a competition. I think the gap will close between your main supports and flex supports, but I believe that with these BAP nerfs coming in, BAP will become even more map dependent, creating a situation where main supports will still have to go over to Lucio, who gets pretty abysmal fantasy stats, meaning that even your top tier main supports are probably still going to be scoring lower than your bottom feeder team Zens. So,
yeah,
just as a heads up.
I would touch on that, though. Like, it is exciting that there is a chance for main supports to start putting in some more work. And I think already last season, towards the end of the season with like in daily leagues, we saw main supports outscore certain flex supports on occasion, mm-hmm. you know. That probably won't be the case if they average out map scores, but it could be the case in top if you play in top three map leagues
or best scoring. Like, I think there's a chance that there's a chance that some like a top tier Baptiste could outperform a low playing Zenyatta. So
yeah, and what's fun there too is like it allows you to just give more value to main supports, and then you know in the past you haven't really had to pay attention to main support skill levels. Like, it's been more about leadership and you know, everything else, but the intangibles. But now you know, you can kind of prioritize high skill cap mm-hmm. or like high skill main support, which is fun.
Yep. I think it's great. I think if I will be doing this, I'll probably be picking up just like a benched main support, like a high level main support in every league I'm in near the bottom of my draft, but just like a just in case pick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good option. Okay, let's talk about tanks. So far in Fantasy Overwatch, the rule has been Zenyatta players by far the most valuable because the difference between them and main supports is so high that you like playing a main support is like playing a 0 point getter. It's terrible. In tanks, I think that gap is growing to become similar. Sigmas score a lot, like a lot of fantasy points. Orisas do not. I think unless we get a damage amplified stat, I don't think they'll ever compete. So I'd say off tanks are like very high priority. Like, I would not want to be picking up a top tier main tank in this fantasy league, especially for this upcoming season. I would be, I'm afraid of them. But I also overreact to things, and our listeners know that. So maybe I'm a little crazy, but I think, in my opinion, off tanks are more valuable than they were in 2019. They're more valuable in 2020, so have your eye on those.
Yeah. What I would say with regards to that is, like, you know, yeah, flex tanks, off tanks, like, that's obvious. That's the number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be surprised if the meta shifts towards the middle of the season and just be ready. If we ever get to a point where Blizzard's like, you know, they're going to want to move away from Orisa being the main tank at some point, mm-hmm. and I think the patches will reflect that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as soon as your main tank can play something that's more aggro,
mm-hmm.
You'll want to be the first one in line to pick up the super aggro main tanks who are getting all the playing time, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially if we get back to Dive or, like, you know, as soon as they're playing
Winston, Hammond or Winston. Winston is, like, the exception in terms of fantasy points. So
in season one, like, Winstons were... You know, they were kind of king. They were one of the top scorers.
When final blows were a big stat, but yeah.
Yeah, and when Winston's lab was a thing. Yeah. Coincidence?
I think not.
I would just say, you know, keep an eye on them. Don't prioritize them, but keep an eye.
Yeah. So, guys, today Foul Play was a very generic kind of episode. We're not getting too specific with anything. That's because we want to start wide and narrow down as we get closer and closer to the season. So you can look forward to a lot of different things from our show. You can look forward to just, like, our top picks in certain categories, what teams we think are going to be getting, like, what teams are going to pop off, but what teams are going to be, like, your Atlanta Reign or Gladiator teams, like, getting those higher map counts for your best scores. You can look forward to all of that from us. And this upcoming season, you can look forward to hearing more from Teo and I. Hopefully we'll have A-Smith back on for some episodes. He's got a lot of real life responsibilities, so he'll be here when he can. And also you can look forward to the show being streamed for the first time in a long time. I think I finally got my computer set up to where I'm somewhat comfortable doing that. So I know this episode wasn't live streamed, but going forward it will be. All of that you can find in the Discord. So get in the High Noon Podcast Discord. Let us know if you want to be in a league with us in Fantasy League Formation. Let us know if you have any questions about fantasy. Put them in that mailbag section. We'll answer them there. We'll answer them on the show. We want to make this show for you guys. And that being said, we actually, like, reached out to a lot of you, got a lot of really cool feedback for the upcoming season. We've changed some segments, we've cut some, we've added some, and we've just, like, I think really got the show refined to a new cool spot. It's going to feel fresh and exciting. So we're pumped to show that regular season show with you, but for now, enjoy the preseason. Like, there's so much fun to be had in terms of power rankings, draft. Like, this is draft season, baby. We're in it. So enjoy it while we're here. I'm excited to absolutely stomp some of you listeners. I'm not excited to be stomped by some of you listeners, but it's going to happen. It's inevitable. In terms of that, last thing I want to do is I want to kind of tell you guys about some other, like, shows and stuff out there where you can get more fantasy resources. So, one, I mean, all these websites we mentioned today as platforms have articles being written on there. They're great. Read them. Two, there's By the Numbers podcast with Totem and Ednar and Ramses. Show is solid. They're getting some interviews with the creators of these websites, which will be a lot of helpful information. And then two, there's a new fantasy podcast, like, on the horizon that, like, straight up is just the best fantasy Overwatch podcast. I've been on it, but, like, guys, this guy, like, Dalkey is the host. It's called Fantasy Overwatch Underground. This guy is so smart. We need to get him on the show soon because, like I said, his show is literally unbelievably good. So check it out. And yeah, that's last thing you need to hear from us is that we're going to be pretty active on Twitter and on the Discord going forward, so you guys will be able to interact with us in more ways, see when the show's going live, and just be more with it. So, Teo, any closing remarks before we finish up the inaugural 2020 season Foul Play episode?
I'm excited to get it going. I think the regular season format is going to be really informative, and just, you know, tackle most people's needs. And I think it's nice. I think we're done playing hard to get. We're going to be pretty available in terms of listening to, to listeners, and, we'll get on the listening side of things for once. And, if you have any ideas about, you know, segments, or if you have questions, like we'll get involved with those on our show. Yes. And but for now, let's handle this introduction stuff. Let's get amped for the season.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bring on the drafts, man. I want to join so many. I don't know how active I'll be in them eventually, but I want to do so many drafts. I'm very excited. Get in the highnoon.gg alpha for this weekend if you can. But other than that, guys, we'll see you soon, hopefully next week, with another episode. I don't know exactly what it'll be yet, but that's why you have to follow our Twitter. So check it out, and have a good week. Good luck in your drafts, guys. See ya.